Father, we open this book again this morning. We thank you for the precious privilege of knowing it's the absolute Word of God. We thank you, Heavenly Father, to understand that you breathed this book in the hearts of men and they wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. So when we open it now, we know it is exactly what we need. We know if we'll study it, it will be that which will help us more so than anything else in this world. And we pray, Father, today for the Holy Spirit to help us to understand more about you. May we continue growing grace and knowledge of the Lord, and may that be applied in our life for the glory of God. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to read verse 8, 9, and 10. Now, these verses are very precious verses. We know these by heart, as we read them, I want you to look your eyes on it. I'm going to concentrate on verse 10. But this morning, as we look in verse 8, the Bible says, "For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God." Just not a gift of God. It is the gift of God. You hear what again? Let's read it again. "For by grace are ye saved." Now, you have to understand, this grace, of course, is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "For by grace are you saved, through faith, and not of yourself. It is a gift of God." Then he says, "Not of works, lest any man should boast." And then he says, "For we are as his workmanship." Now notice, who are the we? It's those who have trusted Christ as Savior. It's those who have been quickened in verse 1 by the Spirit of God. It's those that have understood that you're saved by grace, it's through faith, and not of yourself. The we is the child, the born-again child of God. Notice what Paul continues said, "And we are his workmanship." Now, it's interesting. Workmanship means skill of a workman. It means simply quality of one's work. You see the quality of one's work. So the quality of God's work through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is so great there's nothing else can be equated to it. Nothing else we can do in this life to get it, even though many people are trying to do that today. But we are his workmanship, he simply tells us. And then he said, notice, "created in Christ Jesus." We are his workmanship. We are his quality of work. We are the hand of his skill, hand that he's done, watch, through Jesus Christ, created in Christ Jesus. Notice the next three words, "unto good works." Now look at me just a minute, folks, we're reading it further. God has said that we're saved by God's grace. We're in this earth as far as humanity is concerned. We've been born in the physical life. And God has said when we come into this world, world depraved away from him. But he said there's another arena that's been developed inside this world. If you could see at this being the world in my hands here, and then see this being where God says the arena have been saved. This is the children of God that's in the world. This is the ones who've been born again. He's not talking about these out here or his workmanship. In this case, he's talking about those who've been birthed into the family of God are his workmanship. And notice he said, they're created in Christ Jesus. Created in Christ Jesus means that all of these on the outside can't be part of this. You have to come through the door of belief. You have to come through the door, which is the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 10. So here he said that there's an arena in this life now called the church that's manifesting the local church, and wherever God's people meeting at, manifested, if they're truly again God's people, not been deceived, been born into the family of God. He said there is a created in Christ Jesus unto good works. God has arena. It doesn't necessarily mean you may do it. He says you've got the opportunity to do it. It doesn't necessarily mean that everyone will do what he says do, because you and I don't decide what those works are in our energy. We have a book here to tell us what that work is. And here this work, there his works have to be lined up with him. How are we going to find out what his works is? Can I just all of a sudden say, "Lord, I think you're going to like this. I think you're going to like, I think if I do this, if I'm this way." No, you can't say that at all. We have to say, "Lord, help me line myself up with your words, because in this book is God's created works. And it's in Jesus Christ that we've been born into the family of God." And so here he says that unto good works. We're created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in. In other words, that God has before prepared in the beginning that we, who, the we again, the we in the first, the second word we here in this verse, that we who are the born again children of God, he's setting forth our good works already in Christ Jesus that has been prepared for us to walk in, or that we should walk in. In other words, he said, they're there, you should do it. I've created them. I know what is needed as far as the church to get the story out. Will you do that? The invitation is, will you do that? Will you do that? And a matter of fact, if you don't say, yes, I will, you won't. And there will be nothing in this arena that will be that will reap a reward for that, because you have to do it God's way or it's not counted. Amen. Now, I want to speak to our hearts this morning. What an amazing thing that God Almighty would choose to use you and I. Amen. You look at yourself in the mirror sometime and evaluate yourself. You look at yourself in the mirror how much God has of your time. You look at yourself in the mirror sometime and just think, what have I done this week for Christ? How much have I thought about him? By the way, you don't. There's not a whole lot that you used to have a lot of thoughts about unless you're doing something.
That's right.
It's good to have thoughts, but I know this. If you have the right thoughts biblically, there's going to be something I've got to do. I don't do it to be saved. I don't do it to get saved. I do it because I want to do what God wants me to be as much as I can in my life because I'm saved. I am amazed. I am amazed that God would choose to use us, his children. Folks, let's face it, we're fickle sometimes. We'll delay sometimes. We'll come up with what we think God should be, God's will should be when it's our will. You see, there's a lot of things that God wants us to know. This book has been not hid in our heart, so we don't know. And I want to look at this for just a few minutes this morning. Now, if you go back with me to Matthew chapter 1, verse 1 through 16, and you don't have to go there, but just do it later. Matthew traced Jesus Christ's genealogist from Joseph all the way back to Abraham. When you look in Luke chapter 3, verse 23 through 38, you see Luke traces Jesus' genealogist all the way back to Adam. When you look in John chapter 1, verse 1, you see that Jesus goes always back to the very beginning of all things. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and Word was with God, and the same was beginning with God. You see that. So here we're talking about Jesus Christ, who is the center of this book, which in turn should be the center of our lives. He ought to be the center of our lives. John appeals to the whole world to see that Jesus Christ is the divine, almighty Son of God. When you see that and understand without him we have not this spiritual life, with him we can have this spiritual life. Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen, antedates all biographies. He antedates all everything that's chronological as far as the scripture. He antedates all things because there was nothing made before him except what he and God the Father together in their meeting actually made. Now, Jesus Christ is referred to in the scriptures. Watch this. He's not only Jesus. He's not only Christ. He's referred to as the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can go to the book of Acts, and you do, and you see that Peter says this a number of times in the book of Acts. Acts 2:36, Acts 10:36, Acts 11:17, Acts 15:11. He speaks to us about the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you look at what Paul said in Acts 16:31, he speaks also about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible uses this term, Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what does it mean? Well, first of all, the word Lord means one who rightfully holds dominion over all things. He's the dominant person. With him, by the way, he owns it all. He's Lord of it all. That word we learn use sometimes irreverently. People use it. Rather than understanding it to be used with the Lord's name, there's a reason for that. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was his earthly name. It meant Jehovah saves. Joshua is the same word in the Old Testament and the New. It means the same thing, that Jesus saves. Christ means the anointed one. The one that should be sent, the Messiah, the one that would come. He was the anointed one. Most people look at Jesus and know his name to be saved. Most people say, ain't it wonderful that Jesus Christ came as the anointed one, because he's the only one that actually could take away my sin. I got news for you. If you're saved, he also wants to be your Lord. That means that the dominant factor, I am not my own anymore, the Bible tells me, because I've been purchased with a price. He must be Lord or he won't be anything else. Now, he'll save us. He's our Savior if you trust him as Savior. But if you want to get involved with what God's work, that God says, I've got arena thy, and I've prepared the works to be done, and I'll show you what they are, but I'll not make you do them. But you'll hear about them. You'll have the chance. And if you do not do what I asked you to do, you've got your ticket to heaven. But I'll tell you one thing. When you get there, you regret a lot of things. Because I gave the opportunity to show you that I won't just save in people to go to heaven. If I had, I took you all there when you got saved. Oh, me, my. Amen. I thought Brother Money was kind of setting the table for me this morning. I could finish up with a full course. But you see, ladies and gentlemen, this is Bible. This isn't this junk going on today that you hear all across the world religiously. This is something that said, God has said, listen, my plan is about me, and it centers around my son in the age of grace, and what I'm doing now is through my son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then when you become a child of God, you are a child of mine, and I'm working through the church in this arena. Amen. That I asked. Now, what an amazing thing that God would choose to use you and I in this life. I wonder, what in the world? Lord, you're not that hard up. By the way, he's not hard up enough to have to use us. He could put us off and raise another whole group if he wanted to. If he wanted just people to worship him without any will whatsoever, he could make a bunch of robots to do that. But you know why? He's given us the greatest opportunity that man's ever had. As far as I'm concerned, the age of grace is greater than the Old Testament. Because of what Jesus Christ has done. We're not looking forward to him to die. He's already done that. We're looking for him to come back again one of these days in the near future. Thank God for that. Now, Jesus Christ can be found on every page of the Scripture somehow, some form, some fashion. If you're saved, your Savior and Lord has chosen to use you to show forth his glory and his praise. And all can be used. Why? God has a story to tell. I'm amazed this last week. Barbara and I had a busy schedule. I was amazed at places we've been. And by the way, you who have mailing out these brochures, they are working. Amen. There are people getting them. We had people already this week. I don't know how many we've been at this week. We're at different places. I mean, different places we're at in this county and around. We run into people, and they find out who we were, and they say something like, wait, you know, we got a package in the mail. Man, I appreciate it. You know, now, out of all the people that approached us, not one of them said they wish they hadn't got it. Now, I've got some calls said they wish they hadn't got it, but not one of these. I'm glad I got a call, couldn't tell who it was, ain't you? But see them face to face. And they're saying the same thing. I know I live in a ways from here in another town somewhere, and I'd like to go one day, but if I don't go, I'd like to know. I know this. And some of them said, I looked and saw your website, and I didn't go to church one day because I was sick, whatever it is, and I looked at it on the website. So that's how they knew when they saw us. What I'm saying to you, that thing may not seem much for those who have, I think we had 50 or 60 families that agree to do that, at least 5 a week mail to the different ones in the county. May not seem much, but it is doing something. It is doing something. And if you hadn't got any of those, get some. Pick out, pray over them. Don't get them, just mail them. Get out, pray over those names. Pray if they're not saved, Lord, help them get saved. If they are saved, help them be serving you. And then drop that into, what is that? What, $2.50 a week to put them in? Put 5 in, mail them in the mailbox. I did say that, didn't I? Yeah. Amen. Or drop them in the post office. Or give them to the mailman. It doesn't make no difference when they get them. So here, these things really work. Jesus wants to know and honor in the midst of his people. He wants to be honored and known in the midst of his people. And he does that by what we do. I heard the most wonderful story recently that happened a number of years ago, and you can tell this because this happened. This was an ice cream coffee shop years ago, and a little 10-year-old boy had got saved in church, and he went down to the coffee shop. I don't know if riding his bicycle. And he had went inside, and he sat down at a table. And this is a place where they had waitress and so forth, and he went in and sat down, and the waitress got a glass of water and went over and took it to him, and in her mind, the place was full. She was a little bit irritated because the little boy come in, and she knew he couldn't get a whole lot out of him. And he sat down and He asked her this question. He said, how much is an ice cream soda? And she said, 50 cents. And he went in his pocket, and he pulled out his money, and he was counting it, and here she was patting her foot. And he said, how much would a dish of ice cream cost? She said, 35 cents. He said, please bring me a dish of ice cream. And when she went back and got it, come back, she put his water down, went back and got it, put it down on his table and walked away. He ate his ice cream, went over to the place and paid the 35 cent and went out the door. She had waited on a person. She came back. Well, I need to go get his glass all right, and then clean up his mess. And she walked over there, and when she reached down to get his glass, her heart was broken. She looked, and there was 2 nickels and 5 pennies beside the glass. And she got to figuring, the reason he didn't get the ice cream soda because he wanted to leave her a tip. And she got to figuring that he took the 35-cent ice cream and gave her a 30% tip. No one else in that shop gave him that. And her heart was crushed because she was impatient with him. See, God lets people see things who are honest. And this little boy had not been saved long, and he heard about what it should be to help and do things that are right. And this was the right thing he knew to tip. And here, this lady who was very irritated suddenly began to realize he had done something out of his heart. He could have went ahead and got the whole soda if he wanted, not left anything. A 10-year-old boy's heart's touched with God about what that meant in that day. Where you find Jesus, you'll find the church. Where you find Jesus, you'll find the bride. Jesus Christ is not a phony, folks. Amen. Jesus Christ, listen to me, is not selling us a bill of goods that's not true. He promised eternal life. He promised the life that he himself had. He rose from the dead to show he had that divine life. And he's sitting at the right hand of the Father this morning. And I guarantee you that he's not sold us a bill of goods that's not true. We can believe him when it comes to service. And here, God is telling us that his works are created in Christ Jesus. If you're going to do anything, you better do it. Let me give 3 quick points on this subject. What an amazing thing that God would choose to use you and I. Number one, I believe this. Most people have an inadequate concept about God. Most people on this planet has an inadequate concept about God. In judgment, they act like they're their own prosecutor, attorney. They act like that they're their witness and on their behalf. They act like that they're their own judge, own jailer, own jury, going to be their own executioner. Of course, we know that's not going to be an executioner at all. We feel like that we are more our own judge more than anyone else. And when you get down to it, biblically, that's ridiculous. It is due to not understanding who God is by failing to obey him. In this situation, God is telling us where those works are at. Angels are one level of life. That's a spiritual level in the spiritual world. Animals are on another level of life in the physical world. And we're in the physical world, but we're not an animal in spite of what people may say. We did come from animals in spite of what people may say. We are created in the image of God. Man is in God's image, and he's between the angels and the animals on this earth. Now, you say, how do you know that? Look with me in Hebrews, and we'll read quickly a few words in chapter 2, verse 5, 6, 7, and 8. He says, but for unto the angels had he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one, and he in a certain place testifies, saying, I'm in Hebrews 2, and verse 5, 6, and 7. And he said, and one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou art visited him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with the glory and honor. And he said, did he set him over the works of thy hands? Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. That is, God has allowed subjection on earth to be put under his image until this thing is closed out. And he expects us to learn from God so that would be flowing from God through this earth in the physical world, from the spiritual world, so that we might know the things of God. As the prayer of Jesus prayed, our Father which in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. You see that in Matthew chapter 6. So he says, thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all subjection to him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. At this moment, we don't see everything dominated by him. That is man, that's lower than the angels. But notice the next verse. But we see Jesus. Amen. Oh, wait a minute. I see you physically, but I ain't seen Jesus physically. I didn't live back 2,000 years ago. But the thing about it is, we have seen him through faith. This Bible brings a tremendous aspect of Christ through faith. We see Jesus, whom had, was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, and by the grace of God should taste death for every man. What an amazing thing. When you look at what the Bible said at this time, this is a Christ that we just cannot fully understand. We have bodies like animals, which is flesh. We have souls like angel, which is the life of God himself. Our spiritual life is the image of God also, not only just physically. When Jesus was here in a body of flesh, he looked like other human beings. He may have been more Jewish looking, but that still is there. And Peter encourages every believer to love, to know, and to serve Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, Peter encourages every believer to know and serve him. At the same time, our inner spiritual sight has been enlightened. It's been made alive in Christ. Why? Because in verse 1 of chapter 2, he says, you have to quicken who were in dead past trespasses of sin. So the human and physical eye never has seen him in all his glory. I've never seen Jesus Christ in all his glory. I've never seen God in all his glory. I know that he's there. I see enough in heaven to see that they declare that God exists. But Peter encourages us, our inner spiritual life has been enlightened. The human being looks at Jesus at two levels. And one of these is that we have the human physical eyes, and then the other is that our eternal invisible spirit been seen by him or in him, know him and love him through the eyes of faith. And that's what Peter tells us over in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8. Peter simply says this. He says this, and whom having not seen, this is a born-again child of God. This is the one who he says he has divine life of God, divine spirit of God. This is the one, in whom and have not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing. Believe in what? That he just came, a little babe, and that's it? No, believe in all that God says about him. That's the starting point. Believe in, he says, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. He says, when you believe like you should about who this person is, Jesus Christ, though you've not seen him physically, God has opened him up in your eyes spiritually. You know he's real, and you realize that he brings this great joy. Ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Somebody says, well, preacher, try to tell me. Or says, brother, try to tell me. And you start trying to tell, and you get to talking, and suddenly it's unspeakable. Amen. It's too great. You do the best you can, you come short. Why? It's God I'm talking about this morning. He's the Son of God. And he's the one that his works are created in. Amazing thing about it is, you and I can't fully explain it. Maybe that's the reason we don't try. We can't fully explain it, but God said, I've still got a story to tell. And if nothing else, just give you testimony. Go through the book of Acts and see the number of times. If anybody could explain it, Paul could. But look at the times he gave his testimony. Go to the book of Acts and look at the testimony that Paul gave. And you'll find there was times he had to give his testimony along the same way. Most of matter can rise no higher in life than what it's made to begin with. But not so in man. We're in God's image. Man can be and do at the same time. Man can be the cause and the effect of things at the same time. He can be a servant or he can be a master. He can be a poet, one who's... creates poetry, or he can be a philosopher. He can walk with God like an angel, or he can act like an animal on earth and walk as a man. Jesus Christ makes the difference in this life. So most people have an inadequate concept about who God is. Secondly, what is your concept about Jesus Christ? When you think about him, most of this world considers Jesus as a 10-cent dime store Jesus. He's just there to use, to get. Ladies and gentlemen, the plastic painted Jesus who has no spine, no justice, a picture of soft, pliable friends to every type of person is the way most people look at Jesus. He's more than that. He's more than that, folks. This is not the Christ we are dealing with in the Bible. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 10 through 17, you go read that. Sake of time, I won't. John was on the Isle of Patmos. I'll get a little bit of it. But John's on the Isle of Patmos. And he's talking about what he saw. And he said, I heard a great voice behind me. It's the sound of a trumpet. You ever heard a trumpet with a loud blast? It'll burst your ears if they do it right. He said, this is who I heard, a voice. And he said, in voice, I'm Alpha and Omega, the first, the last. What seest thou and write in a book? And send it to the seven churches, Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. And he had turned to see, he said, the voice. And when he did, he spake to me, and he turned and he saw this man that was in the midst of seven candlesticks, like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his foot. And he said, girded about the paps with a golden girdle. And his hair, head and hair, was white as like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire there, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burn in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He said, I saw him in verse 17 and fell as dead, fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his tender hand upon me. Go to the word tender. I put there. He laid his hand upon me and said to me, fear not. I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. In other words, I look at that. He said, I've got the keys of death, hell, and the grave. They're in my hands. I've conquered that for you in this life. I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, John saw Jesus Christ different than most people did in this vision. Someone said, well, preacher, how can this be? I do not know this. I just don't know if it works or not. Well, I'll tell you, I say the same. How can this be? It can only be because God said it. Well, I want to ask something. I wonder sometimes, and I thought this past week and a few weeks ago, how can it be that I can draw oxygen in my lungs by breathing, and that oxygen go down into my lungs and absorb into my blood and stream to purify and give me life? How in the world can that be? I don't know. By the way, don't try to tell me you don't either. You know it works. You can go and read how it works. You can understand many things about it. You can't tell why it works. Just can't tell you why it works. But if it don't do that, you'll die. If it don't do it, I'll die. But I'll tell you this, I'm not going to stop breathing just because I can't explain it. This mystery of how oxygen nourishes my life. I'm not going to just, I can't explain. No use to use it anymore. And I'll tell you another thing. I'm not going to turn away from my faith in Jesus Christ just because I cannot explain that either. I'm going to believe it. By the way, I don't have to explain it. I just have to believe it. You know why? Because that's what the Bible tells us. In 1 John chapter 5, he tells us very forcefully in down about verse 10 to 13. Notice these verses. In 1 John chapter 5, he said, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave his Son. What is that record? He said, this record is that God, and this is the record that God had given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Man alive. He that hath the life, he said, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. This is interesting to me, because why I can't explain it, he said, but if you believe, this is what you get. I don't have to go through the process. I know more now than I did 53 years ago when I got saved. But I don't have to go to explain it in a sense for me to understand. Just believe God. When I read it and see it, I believe God. And believing what God says is enough. One day he'll sit down. By the way, he's the only one who can fully explain it anyhow. If I have to know it over there, he will. But I know enough about it now, know how it works in the sense what it'll do. But still, I don't in God's mind understand why he used blood. But he did. He tells us it's life of the flesh. And so forth. And so here, I don't have to explain, I just fully believe it. And he said, this is the record that God had given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe in the name of the Son of God. Isn't that amazing? He said, I've written these things that you may know you can have eternal life, and this life is in his Son. That's all you need to know. I'm not going through the mechanics what I did. Believe it, Son, and I'll give it to you. Just simple as that. Isn't it an amazing thing, though, that God ordained to use people like us? We have more writings today than every man's history. Yet out of all of those books that have been written and published, there's not one word that I would want to die by other than God's word in the Bible. I mean that. Unless that book would have something been written about God's word in the Bible, could help me. I don't know if God said next week I was going to die, next month I was going to die. If there'd be, I don't know, one book in the world anyone could even recommend to me that's published that I'd want to read other than the Bible or something about the Bible if I knew I was going to die next few hours. The Bible is the source that comforts my heart. Now, there's good literature I turn. I believe you broaden your mind by reading it. You want to read all you can. In fact, do you better to read and look at television. At least you'd have the quietness of understanding what you're reading from one man rather than what we see sometimes that twitches our mind. So most people have an inadequate view of God. Secondly, what is your concept of Christ? And the third thing, quickly, God created all things to display His own glory. That's it. None of us have a glory to anybody worth having. If they had it, if they see it much, they'd be tearing it down. God's the only one that deserves to understand what He's doing in His glory. God ordained man, which is in His image, as a supreme instrument to display those glories. And that's in God's will. I'm amazed today, in the last few weeks, I'm amazed how people determine God's will. Folks, if you try to determine God's will outside this book, you might as well hang it up. I mean, I read where one lady was wanting to go to the Holy Land. And they said, well, you're going to have to ride on 747 jet. That's the biggest one to make. It scared her to death. She said, not me. I don't know if I'm going to go if I had to ride on that big plane. I'd never ridden on a big plane like that and ride that far and over that ocean. I don't know if I'm going to do that or not. And about 2 days before, it came for her to leave to get to where she was going to go to get the plane. She woke up one morning at 7:47 on the clock. And she looked at it. She said, that's an answer to my prayer. And so she did. She said, that's it. God just gave her an answer to prayer at 7:47. Well, folks, listen. It's 7:47 twice a day. I don't know. There's no way in the world I'd base anything in God's will about something like that unless He came to me verbally and told me. Another person was talking about that they were, a man was praying for God to let him know God's will. And he'd been riding down the road and he'd been praying. He said, Lord, I can't make my mind up. The next two stoplights I come to, if they're green, I'm going to know that's Your will for me to do this. What happened? I don't know. But I'm not going to let stoplight try to tell me what the will of God is. Man, I sat down too long now. Amen. I think about another lady. I read another lady where a person was praying and they couldn't get an answer. And they said, God, now I believe in putting out a spiritual fleece at times, but don't be foolish. He said, God, listen, my phone was going to ring at 9:21 Thursday night. Now I know that's Your will for me. Well, 9:21 is going to come twice a day anyhow. You see, folks, we're silly sometimes trying to find God's will. You think God is not more a person? He's not phony. Sometimes, I'll tell you this, when you're searching God's will in the book, He'll show it to you, but you'll learn some things you need to learn along the way, that which in turn help you understand that. And the foolish thing of all I heard, and I don't know whether this is true or not, but a guy said he wanted to find God's will, and he opened the book, and he raised up the window and set in the window seal and let the wind flow the pages through. And it came to Matthew 27:5, and he got looking at it, and he said, Judas went out and hung himself. And he said, man, that's not going to work. So he put it back up there again, and of course the wind blew it through, and next time he stopped on John 10:37, he said, go out and do thou likewise. Amen. You better watch out how you're doing when you're just haphazard trying to find God's will. He may let something foolish happen just because we act ignorant. Folks, you say, but how can you find it? You spend with Him in prayer and seek His face in this book. And there's something to take place that'll be unbelievable how God does about doing that for our lives inside of eternity. God adapts man to encourage the environment around him. You can always live anywhere in this universe. You cannot always live anywhere in this universe like you are and like we are. But sometimes God has to change us to find His will, to do His will. And looking at the clock's not going to do that. Now, what did you say, preacher? I said, sometimes God has to change us to find His will, to do His will. Because if He didn't change us, we wouldn't do it. If He told us something to do we didn't want to do, we'd say, God, got to be another way. So what God does, seeking His word prayerfully, suddenly it began to work in our heart and change ourselves to something that whatever He says. We'd say, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to do it. But I'm going to do it for the glory of God. And God does that. You cannot live anywhere, as I said before, in this universe like we are. God has to do something for us. God walked with Adam and Eve into perfect love in Eden. But the fall of man brought a change in this life. The whole nature of man was affected. Our body, our soul, our mind, our spirit has been affected because of what Adam and Eve did in the garden. And lost man lost his God-given franchise in this earth. His life is as brief now as has ever been, except we got it back a little bit better than 45 or 50 years old, or 55 years old. We're back to 70, and by reason 80. But our life is still brief compared to when it was when Adam and Eve died, and those early patriarchs died in the Old Testament. So mortality is a sentence of death, and death is the final act of this life. So this earth does not have a good reputation with God's child. You'd have to agree, there's not a whole lot in this earth has a good reputation to you. Neither does it to me. It just seems like someone's trying to get us all the time, isn't it? I mean, you say, not me. I'll tell you, I've learned to be peaceful. Let one person cut you off on the road and see what happens. Oh, preacher, I've just learned to be content. Yeah, I know. I'm content right now, but give me 10 minutes outside and understand what happened. Amen? Because this is the world we're living in. Aren't you glad there's a safety in this world called the family of God? Aren't you glad there's a circle in this world that God is calling out, and he's got a shield around it, and he said, here's where you work from. These are where my works are at. You get this and go back into that world and let them know, I've got a story to tell. And it's about my son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The earth does not have a good reputation with us. There are too many problems that we're having to face. And I thank God for John 14:6, when he said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And those who trust him, he said, in my Father's house, verse 1 of many mansions. If not so, I told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you into myself. God's not joking there. Jesus is not joking there. When he talked about that at that time. Some people talk about a body experience, and they make a lot of money off of it. You say, what about that, preacher? Well, folks, let me sum this up this way. The only out-of-body experience that I expect to see is me going home with Jesus when I rise in the air. Amen. I believe that. I believe that God's not going to give us a choice when he calls us home. So I said, but wait a minute, preacher. Now, I know I'm going to get some letters on this, but I've got to tell you. I've not got much in the person to tell me they died, never served God, never been in church much. They died, went to heaven. God sent them back and told them he wanted to serve him. If we can't listen to this book by faith and believe what God says, having out-of-body experience is not going to do it. Isn't it amazing that most people try to make money off of that rather than do what they do? Folks, I'm telling you, God has left his word here for us. And he says it is inspired. Get in it, read it, and you'll find out those works you need to do. You know what? Do you think, and I believe this is a powerful book. And the spiritual side of man is what touches when this book is talked and read and spoke from and read from. And this book will not do for a person in this life, spiritually, to let them see they need Christ as Savior, and they don't accept him as Savior, don't come back telling them you died later and had a body experience. If you won't believe this book, it's too late. If you don't believe the Christ of this book, it's too late. I don't care. We're so spectacular today, we believe everything but God. This book tells us what God wants us to know. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. God can do some great things, and God is doing some great things today, but it's been light in different ways than it was years ago. God is a powerful being. He can speak worlds in form. He can raise the dead. Ladies and gentlemen, I've heard a lot of people talking about people being raised from the dead in our day. And I've never found one that was verified medically. You let a person be dead 4 days and then see someone come back. Unless God himself does it. And he can do it, by the way. He can do it. But in amazing, you wonder again, what an amazing thing that God would choose to use you and I prayerfully. I want to teach you that you can pray where you're at and get a hold of God as good as I can if you do it biblically. You're a child of God. The only thing that I am is a child of God that God has raised up in the ranks of the church. That's all it is. And He is the one who has set the officers and things into the church. And what He wants us to do, to understand, He loves us, He has a story to tell, and every last one of us can tell that story. And we can pray. The only difference is when we pray and God answers prayer, they don't get that notoriety as others who say. And by the way, we can verify here. Why? We don't try to get the glory for it. We want God to get the glory for it. And ladies and gentlemen, that's where we're at in these last days. If we don't have some substance, and that's what this is. I'm going to look at faith one of these days for long. We don't have some substance. That's what this is. If we don't have substance from this book, what you see with your eyes will trick you. You've been here on Wednesday night, what have you been seeing? If you want to see great signs and people think it's God, look at the Antichrist in the tribulation period. Look at what he does, and he'll deceive the whole world by doing things that man had never seen done before, thinking he's God, declaring himself he is God, being as God. They believe he is God. And that scares me. We're in the last days. I'm looking for the Lord Jesus, but they're in the last days. A lot of things are leading to that thing. And so what I'm saying, I don't want to get hung up on the earthly things I see, which in turn is going to be so much miraculous. Those people who follow earthly things they see without following through this book will fall line and sinker for the Antichrist, because he's going to do things no one in this world has ever done. Benny Hinn's never done nothing like he's going to do. I'm telling you. If you're here and you're not saved today, the greatest thing could happen to you is to know Jesus Christ as Savior. He has a story to tell. We have a story to tell. And that story is about the loving Savior. Have you trusted him? Someone listen to my radio. Someone listen to my upstream. Have you trusted him? If not, why not? Why not? Thank God for John 14:6. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man coming to the Father but by me. My Father, again, I thank you for the day. Lord, I got on the rabbit trails a little bit this morning, but I really believe, Lord, I believe this book. And I believe there's times that God does things in certain ways, but he always makes it better. And Father, we're in the last days, and knowing what's going to happen in the tribulation period, when the Antichrist sets up his kingdom, and the kingdom in midway that period, give him the power that comes from the kings of the earth because of what they see him able to do. Wow, he's so powerful, he can take an inanimate object that he's made out of some type of material and give life to it. Boy, that's going to hurt some eyes, I'm sure. That's going to make some people believe that would believe him rather than believing the message that God gives to those Jews to preach about the kingdom coming. But we're not there yet, Lord. We're in the age of grace. Your grace reaches down to lift us out of the mire of sin. Your grace also teaches us, the Bible says. Not only saved by grace, but it teaches us the things we need to know. If I didn't have this book, we'd be like Old Testament times, and we'd have to really discern a lot of things by what we saw physically. But now we have the Spirit of God, and we thank you, Lord, to know and understand by having your Spirit as a down payment of our eternal life. Now gives us the ability to understand the things that God would have us be and do. You passed out by measure your gifts. You've measured us grace. How we respond back to you be the means how you'll use us. Please save that soul that's near as hell and help someone today to see, Lord, you mean more to me than anything else. You're the Lord Jesus Christ of my life, and I want you to use me. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.